We are here with Interview with an MVP, and you are going to join us midstream in a little bit of a debate that Alan and I are having. He doesn't believe in managing the servers the same way that I do in an environment. So, for example, I would be what's known as the administrator that opens 1,000 windows on a server never closes them because I might have stuff on there that I need.
But let me back up.
I'm a Windows hoarder.
And you have been classically trained.
Yes.
And all the textbooks that you've gone through have told you to log on to each computer as administrator.
Well, of course, because then every script I go to run works.
Exactly. I get it.
So why wouldn't I do this?
You need to evolve.
No, I don't.
I'm going to start logging into every server after you and taking away the GUI and putting it back to server core.
No, you're not, because I need to click. I am a clicker. I am a happy clicker. When I go to bed, I know that I've spent my day clicking. I'm nice and, you know, I'm satisfied. It was a good, solid day of clicking.
I'm just going to uninstall the GUI, give you a black box, and maybe you can do start PowerShell and have a blue box too.
PowerShell? Why would I use PowerShell? I can get paid twice as much to do the same job over and over and over again without PowerShell.
Are you sure?
Maybe I can actually make more money with PowerShell.
Yeah, I run the script and just say, charge them for the 5 hours it would normally take.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
Hang on, guys.
So what
I think
you're
we're
saying
gonna
is
actually
you're a crook.
Stop. We're gonna actually get to what we're here for today.
This is a whole
interview
separate
with an MVP. I'm Chris Lakawula. This is
Do we
my
have
cohort,
to argue with her too?
I don't know.
Clint Wyckoff. And we're actually here to bring you content today, not just these two bickering.
So what are we here to talk about today?
What is
in
the
all
next slide?
In all seriousness, we're actually done with those ones. We're here to talk about some PowerShell today with my good friend Alan Rafuse. And I'd also like to talk about something called Gia. Or just enough administration. And so what is that? What is just enough administration? So along that same conversation that we were having, we were just trying to emulate a conversation that happens in many environments where you have the administrators that are a little bit more fluent with the newer technologies, PowerShell, you know, headless servers, stuff like that. And then you have traditionalists that are in the camp of, I've got to click on everything. And, you know, logging as administrator was a great point. Just enough administration. How can something like that help us, Alan?
Well, I think taking it back and whether you're running PowerShell or clicking through the GUI, just enough administration is what you need to talk about. So
yep.
We need to kind of rewrite some of the textbooks that have been out there or the step-by-step guides. Don't log on as administrator. Log on with this user and learn how to set security up properly.
Yeah, and only give the rights, the absolute rights that are required for a particular given task. And, you know, in doing that, could you potentially stop some malware or some breaches and things like that that are going to go creep and crawl through your environment?
Definitely. That's why your administrator account on your workstations are usually disabled.
Absolutely. Clint, Crystal, what do you guys think about that? You know, reducing administrative privileges. Like we're living in a world of cybersecurity attacks on almost a daily basis.
Right.
I heard that, you know, somebody said something about, you know, being prepared for, you know, attacks that, you know, they might already be on the inside or something like that. And you should prepare yourself. Wasn't the FBI was saying something like that, Clint?
Well, I'm not familiar with that specific example that you just provided there.
I do believe he's talking about how they said it's no longer if but when.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
that was what I was talking about. Thank you.
You know, just enough administration is, you know, kind of a concept that we've been preaching as a best practice in the data center for a long while, Dave. And, you know, one of the things that we struggled with whenever I was kind of on that side of the fence is, you know, it's just easier to add somebody to, say, for instance, the domain admins group, where that gives them, access to, like, everything in the environment. But if somebody breaches your credentials, you know, there's been a lot of those instances.
I have a question. What is enterprise admins or schema admins?
Oh, fantastic question, Alan.
Alan, why don't you tell us?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Clint and I don't know.
Schema so admin.
Edumacate us.
Yeah.
No, I can't take away from Clint. I'm just saying that domain admins doesn't give you the full meal deal of the environment.
Well, and that's very true. Like, if you want to have that god-like user experience, you might need a little bit more than just domain admins.
Okay, let's get away from these traditional ones. I'm going to throw all of you for a curveball here.
Okay, batter
okay,
up.
Okay, we've been talking about virtualization. Now let's talk about multi-tenancy.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
Now let me bring up a new kind of, I'll call it a word or buzzword technology, shielded VMs.
Yes.
Yes.
So I may not have domain administrators, enterprise administrators, schema admins, but I can log into each of those VMs through.
And you know, in light of that, with, you know, having more credentials, because I could just have local administrator rights on a particular Hyper-V host,
exactly,
and I may be able to actually gain access to somebody's critical information, right, Alan?
Right.
So this leads up to a very, very important concept that I want to take and, you know, bring forth to everybody.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
If you can control C, control V, you can steal Hyper-V. Yes.
Why is that so?
Explain what I would be control C.
So if you can gain access, physical access, to the actual underlying virtual hard disks, you can simply copy them and paste them, move them, however you want to do it, off to another device, take them into your data center, import them,
right,
and now I can take and run attack tools and stuff like that where I can try to crack passwords, and I'm free to do that in an offline capacity as much as I want. So
how do you protect yourself?
How can you protect yourself against that? Because traditionally, there was only a couple ways to take and protect against that.
Right.
And what were some of the options that we had, guys, to protect our environments?
Lock your data center.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we
lock your data center is a good idea. Yes.
Turn off all your computers.
Yes.
This isn't a new concept, though, because the, you know, like BitLocker, mm-hmm, right? For the last few years, we've been, you know, utilizing TPM chips or trusted platform modules, excuse me, inside of my laptop device that allows me to encrypt the guest operating system.
But how well has that worked in the past on virtual machines?
Well, it hasn't. That's what I'm kind of getting at, because this is a concept on that side of the fence, protect end users' devices, that's been around for a while. You know, the way that Microsoft has evolved security inside of Windows Server 2016, you know, it's probably the biggest area of focus.
It was huge at Ignite. There were sessions all over Ignite on this. It was a big, big topic.
Yes, there were a ton of sessions at Ignite on the topic of security because it's very important. And as Alan mentioned, you know, shielded virtual machines. You know, what is a shielded VM?
Hyper-V expert.
Oh, that was
let
for
you
me.
Explain how you can use PowerShell.
Yeah. So basically, what we can do in Windows Server 2016. Is one of the big advancements of Windows Server 2016, Alan, has been the ability to use what's called a virtual TPM chip. So you can have an extension inside your Hyper-V settings where you can actually add a virtual TPM chip inside of a guest operating system. And because you're able to have that, now I can do in-guest encryption. I'm not encrypting the underlying, the hard drive that it's stored on, I can actually store the contents inside with BitLocker.
Right.
And so I can secure that VM.
The encryption that you're doing is at the guest, inside of the guest OS.
Yes. And so
at a CSV or an SMB3 shell.
That's right. And so Alan and I were just actually chatting about this. We went to go grab some coffee in between sessions here today. And we were talking about, you know, what the experience is for a hosting provider where I'm in a multi-tenant environment. And, you know, at the end of the day, that content is freely available for the cloud administrator to just go do what they feel like, whatever they want to do with it.
Right.
And so now as I start moving my virtual machines into Azure, or I want to move my machines back into my on-premises environment, or, you know, other environments, having the ability to take and shield those VMs from the cloud administrator is incredibly important.
There's a reason I'm trying to almost start laughing here, because it is upon us where some folks of a country have to go ahead and make a voting decision soon.
Yep.
And you did sound like a politician, because the question itself was, what is a shielded VM? Which had nothing to do with BitLocker. But thank you for touching on that.
But it's a secured virtual machine.
But with PowerShell Direct.
Yes.
Is the only way that you can interact with it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So like say for instance, you know, an administrator, you know, that use case you just had there where you have an infrastructure as a service, as a service provider, Alan. This is something that's near and dear to your heart. You know, being a service provider that's hosting VMs in the Hyper-V admin could open up the console. They could perhaps, you know, use different methodologies of getting inside of that virtual machine if they wanted to steal their tenants, you know, VHDX files. Because one of the number one ways that breaches occur is with compromised administrator credentials. Okay.
Exactly.
So that's kind of the concept of just enough administration, making sure only the right people have access to what they need to do their job. The second piece of that being, you know, the encryption inside of the guest. Okay. So that's another level of protection, and that's made possible by, you know, BitLocker and virtual TPM. But then you can take it one step further and you can shield those VMs. You can't even open the console. This is something that's new for Windows Server 2016. Now, Alan, coming from that side of the fence, you know, how do you see this being like a game changer for service providers?
Well, one of the big things is exactly that, is opening the console. I can see what's going on. There are some legacy apps, I'll call them, that have to be logged in to run.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't always like to log off their system. If you're running at the console, why? I'm just going to come back and I need to fix it.
Why are you pointing at me?
So
I don't even get admin rights anymore. Nobody trusts me.
There's a reason. So in that case, if you can't open the console, you can't see it.
Yeah.
You move on to the next one. And again, with PowerShell Direct, you're keeping out unwanted eyes, unwanted connections.
Right.
So before, it was all you could only get in through the network stack. So you had to know the IP, maybe username, password. But now with PowerShell Direct, you bypass that stack and you go right inside the virtual machine and you can start querying the registry or file system, whichever you like.
What's PowerShell Direct? I mean, you brought up a new word there that people might not. I know what PowerShell is, but what's this direct piece?
Well, like I just kind of mentioned, we bypass the network stack and we can go straight into the VM.
Yeah, you actually use the VM bus, right?
Right.
So you're coming across the VM bus. So you actually could disable the network adapter.
Everything.
And yep. Do you want to know another vendor that's really bitten off on using PowerShell Direct for their new technologies with Windows Server 2016?
Is this for a management point of view or?
Just in general.
Okay.
And so the new version of a Veeam backup and replication,
okay,
version 9.5.
Right.
When it would have to go to like stuff like guest indexing and some of those pieces, it would actually require connections to the
network connections.
So now if that's not available, there's actually a failover to PowerShell Direct on a Hyper-V virtual machine. So it's kind of cool to see the ISVs using this technology as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice plug for Veeam there too.
But
yeah.
Again, every technology has its place.
Yep.
So again, hosting provider, somebody might want to lock down their VM, but then you would have to work, say in this case with Veeam, to make sure those valid network connections were available.
Yeah.
Well, that actually brings up a really kind of interesting case that you talked about there. And, you know, protecting, so in a multi-tenant environment where I have a service provider that is hosting my virtual machines, I've enabled shielded VMs, I'm using BitLocker, all that fun and fancy stuff that we just talked about, how do I protect them?
How do you back them up?
How do I back those up, right? I mean, that's a challenge. And, you know, working with some of the service providers that we at Veeam partner with, and, you know, the way that we're tackling that is via an in-guest agent, right? Because you can't interact externally with that virtual machine. You need to have something present inside of the guest operating system to protect it. So, you know, that is a challenge that folks are going to have as they look at deploying these new types of technologies, Crystal.
And it's all coming now faster and more involved with being out there in the cloud and everything.
Well,
so you need to, it was, I think, an impediment before,
mm-hmm,
that a lot of people were afraid to put, to go to those hosted providers,
mm-hmm,
and to actually put their information out there, knowing that there were these, we'll call them back doors or easy ways to take that information.
Right.
And now I mean, Microsoft saw where everything's going. Microsoft directed, helped direct where everything was going, and now they're protecting when you do join Azure. But it's not just Azure that that gives you these options, right? It's all out there. It's protected no matter what.
Regardless if it's running on premises,
that's right.
Or in, you know, somebody else, like a hosting provider's environment.
Exactly.
Or even out in Azure. And one of the things that, you know, Microsoft has introduced here is Azure Stack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dave, what's Azure Stack, and how does that really fit into the puzzle here? Because we're talking about a lot of different things.
So I know what I think we're going to do, Clint, is just to keep the episodes small. I think what we'll do is maybe we'll have a dedicated session on Azure Stack. So basically, just to answer the question, though, just in case your viewer watching, Azure Stack is basically your on-premises version of Azure in your data center. All of the same features and functionality that you will see in Azure for the most part.
And code.
That's what
is going to be available.
Crystal brought up a really good point there, actually. And I think this is the first time that that's actually occurred on here. with an MVP. But no, seriously, you brought up a really great point, because things evolve so fast, all right? And one of the things that Azure Stack provides administrators with is a like-for-like experience of what happens in the Azure data center in your own environment,
yeah.
Okay? So if new piece of functionality becomes available inside of Azure, new whatever, PowerShell, whatever it is, that needs to be made available on premises,
mm-hmm,
for Azure Stack, okay? So one of the things that Microsoft is doing there is...
It's not an if, it's a when.
Well...
Because it's continual...
Right. So it's going to have a rapid development cycle. So you can expect your Azure Stack environment to get updated just as frequently as the Azure environment, okay? So, but Azure Stack in Azure, right? So now I've got the hybrid scenario where I have workloads running on-premises as well as out in a public cloud environment in my Azure subscription. So like the concepts of security and shielded virtual machines and all those different pieces really becomes more important than ever.
Well, and the way that you're going to be able to acquire Azure Stack, I know we wanted to get at this in kind of a later episode.
Yes,
but it all
did.
But it's going to
it
actually...
It all goes together, though. So
it does,
it
does. But it's going to come in a sealed configuration.
Right.
So basically, Microsoft is partnered at this point in time with four vendors. They've partnered, mm-hmm, up with HP, Dell, Lenovo, and Cisco as their partners of choice for at least the initial wave. And you're going to buy this in basically a sealed configuration where it's going to show up. You're going to get a half rack configuration, and it's going to all be ready to go. So there's another open source community project that sounds very similar to this, but you're not going to get all the same features of Azure Stack. But if you just kind of want the lightweight version, I think it's called Project Data Raft, right?
So it is.
It is. So if you want more information on Project Data Raft, you have to watch the episode that aired earlier.
You can click the link on the screen.
Or you can click the link on the screen that Clint's going to edit in there
post-production. I was going to say.
We try not to do that, Clint, because then that requires a lot of post-production work, and we don't like to do work after we're done
recording.
That's
called editing.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to make it look good. And that's my job at here with Interview with an MVP, is to not only host the show, but also make sure that it ends up in the highest quality. And I feel like I'm going to get a Channel 9 guy.
I think we're gonna
wrap.
Right,
we're gonna
let's
wrap this one up.
Yep. Cheers.
As much as
Catch
Clint
next
wants
time.
To talk more.
It's just enough, Clint.